All right, I have 12 of my staff members in the office with me this morning. I'm starting out from scratch. We're not going to have a roll call. Those who come in, as they come in, they can just catch up as they can. Those of you who are in position for a Bible and a notepad, even though you're going to get this, but I want you to begin to write now, because there's a lot of things going to come out that you want to immediately have about reclaiming the biblical gifts and the church position of authority and dominion. Reclaiming the biblical gifts and the church position of authority and dominion. Now, because of the ministry gifts not being in place properly, the church has been organized wrong with tradition, religion, theology, doctrine of men, denomination. All of that will be torn down this morning. Now, there's a scripture in Mark 7 saying the tradition of men make the word of God none effect. For years I've gone with that scripture. But actually, to properly put that scripture in its place, he was talking to a particular people who want to stay in tradition. The word of God is stronger than tradition. Get that down. Don't ever teach your people that. The word of God can tear tradition down. Matter of fact, put in your note things that are illegal in the spirit and turning back to God's original plan. Now, we're going to deal with the ministry of the apostle a whole lot this morning, because that has been the missing ingredient. Now, in Jeremiah 1:10, this has to be done by us as apostolic churches and ministers. You're meant today. If you listen, I don't know how long I'm going to be. I've had my breakfast already, so I don't know how long I'm going to be. In Jeremiah 1:10, it says, see. Now, that word is very important. We could not see. We have not seen because we've been blinded by man-made ways instead of following the divine influence and instruction and blueprint and architect work God has set us for us to go through the apostle. And you will learn more about that in a moment. Now, your whole church structure will change. I'm saying that every ministry in the LTMA, you need to follow suit what I'm preaching and what I'm saying. From Dan, who has the largest church, on down to the smallest church. There's an apostolic building that we have to do in these churches that these people can learn how to function in the spirit properly. They have come from churches that were broken. They have come from churches that are in tradition. They have come from all lines and concepts of God. And we're going to tear down and rebuild and reconstruct the plan of God as it should be, that they'll be able to stand in this and know how to function for themselves. So in Jeremiah 1:10, it says, see. That's the first instruction. Yes, what we need, that word see, that means revelation, insight, understanding, instruction, concepts about God from the Holy Spirit. See, I have this day set thee over the nation and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down, and to destroy, and to throw down. These have to be done. Ain't gonna have to be done in our churches. Here at headquarters, I got 12 to 16 people sitting here with me at headquarters. We need to. There's a lot of things that we're going to have to before we can be over the nation. For instance, let me pause here. This guy who 65 years old. Now he decided that he's going to be a transgender. The people have the wrong concept of the church. They don't know how much authority we have. And apostolically, all of us, all of you, have the power to call judgment down on this thing. Grace or judgment. They don't turn to grace, judgment going to fall on it. I know you might have heard it on the news. Bruce Jenner. And they make a big deal out of it. Now, president put his foot in his mouth in his president address saying something about this transgender and allowing the homosexuality and all this stuff come, which are all things that are illegal in the spirit. They're legal by the land, legal by the laws they're making, but they cannot change God's law. So therefore, judgment must come. I called for judgment last night in prayer meeting. And another thing we must write, we're doing LTMA, turning back to God's original plan. Now, pastors, you hear me now. In Jeremiah 1:10 again, see, I have this day set thee over the nation and over the kingdom. So we're over nation and kingdom. The church have not been over nation. The church has not been over kingdom. Kingdom and nation has been over the church. The kingdom of darkness has been over the church because we have not been in our rightful place. We are to root out. That's what we're going to do. Pull down and to destroy and to throw down. Then, ladies and gentlemen, we've got to build and plant. We've got to build and plant. Now, let me go back to another sheet I want to go back to before I go any further. In Matthew 16:18, Jesus talked about building his church. In 1 Corinthians 3:9-10, the Apostle Paul called himself a wise master builder. Both of them are builders. We are builders. Got to build on the foundation properly. As a righteous God, we must understand this now, he must judge sin if there's no repentance. No matter who it is, we have a right to call this shot. Don't care what position they're in. Amos chapter 5, verse 22 to 27, you're dealing with judgment versus righteousness. It says someone let judgment run and righteousness like a mighty stream or vice versa. Now, we also got to put a cap on this grace message that are being taught that grace take care of everything. There's another group called the inclusion message. The grace message is the same thing. It just overlook all type of sin, no sanctification, no righteousness, no holiness. No, as apostolic churches and apostolic ministers, we're going to put our foot down in the realm of the Spirit and call it as Jesus would call it and call it as the Apostle Paul would call it, all right? So I want to go over a few things about judgment. One was brought to my attention yesterday in the New Testament church because we don't see God as the God of judgment. But in Acts 5, Ananias and Sapphira was in the New Testament church and they messed around with the Holy Ghost and they both dropped dead. You know that, right? Acts 13, verses 8 through 12, judgment struck a man blind who was trying to stop the work of God. I want you to hear that. In Acts 8, 18 to 24, fell judgment when Simon the sorcerer was trying to take care of things and the apostles was called for and they told him that he was in the gall of bitterment. So see those things, recognize those judgments still are in the hand of New Testament ministers and the church today. Now, tradition is, again, let me say, tradition cannot stop the church. I'm going to give you a name of a lot of words in a few minutes. Tradition can't stop the church. In Mark 7:13, he talks about tradition. The word of God is the sword of the Spirit. The word of God is as a hammer. It's like fire. Jeremiah 23:6-29. So here's what the God spoke to my heart in prayer this morning. Verily, verily, I say unto you, I will remove those that does not respect my kingdom. I will release the fear of the Lord in a mighty way, that men may know who I am and respect the calling I have sent forth. Take that, LTMA. Changes are coming. Changes are coming to the body of Christ. Power is coming. Power is coming to the people of God. Now, let's look at these words. I want you to get these words. These words are so important. Well, here's three. Here's three right here. The Spirit, just give me those three. The first one is admit. When you hear the truth, you have to admit you've been going the wrong way. I admit that I've been going the wrong way. I've been doing some good, but by not knowing this apostolic ministry, I have not carried out the work of God as I should have carried out. You have to admit that. Some of y'all won't admit. You won't keep on doing the same doggone little crazy stuff you've been doing, and you're not growing. Now, you're going to have to, I'm not going to permit non-growth in the LTMA. I'm going to put your tail out because you've got to grow. The Word of God calls increase, calls us to multiply. It's these little islands we have set up. We've learned wrong and want to stay wrong because it's a little enjoyment to us. But we ain't got no time for this message. You understand? So now admit you need to make a change if you need to make a change. Secondly, if you don't admit, you never can commit. You won't commit to what I'm saying. You're just wasting my time. I don't have time for that. And then if you don't commit, you're not going to submit. So to admit, commit, submit. I need that out of every member of LTMA this morning. I need it out of you right now. Because some of y'all got your own little island. We can't have no own little island. We tearing these little island down. We tearing these little pet things you've been doing all your life down. This morning, Jeremiah 1:10. That's the only way I'm going to be able to help you as an apostle. I see the authority of apostleship. I see what needs to be done. And now I'm going to lay it on you. Might lay it all on you today. All right, now, here's the thing you have to learn. We'll be dealing with history, culture, identity, purpose, function, influence, power, destiny, history, culture. Let me give you a little highlight on what I mean. History is going to back to God's original plan of how he set things to operate in the mold of the Spirit, not starting where man said we start. Go back, in the beginning was God. Abraham is our father. So that knocked out slavery. Moses, the apostle, took Israel back to the beginning. He didn't take them from Egyptian slavery. He took them back to recognize that they were God's chosen people and they were Abraham's children. So that take care of racism. That take care of anything men try to bring now. Going back to God's original plan. God's original plan now for us is 2 Corinthians 5:13. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things pass away, and behold, all things become new. That's what we got to bring the church to understand our beginning is in Christ. Our middle part is in Christ. Our ending is in Christ. Success is in Christ. Our Christ is in Christ. Our assignment is in Christ. You follow me? I want you to get that. So we don't take nothing else. We go back to our God original plan in Christ. Culture, we're going to find out that when you do that, you're going to set a flavor and a culture with ideas from God that will be different than regular church setting. Then now you come to your identity. Back to 2 Corinthians 5:17. Now when you know your identity, you come to your purpose. When you come to your purpose, then the Holy Spirit will show you your function. Then you'll have the right divine influence. And what your church does not have, the church has become a social club, adjusting their principles to worldly principles, seeker sensitive, trying to please everybody, changing service to Saturday to try to get people to come to church, all that kind of junk. They don't need the power and destiny. You never get to your destiny if you don't know your identity and your purpose. All right. All right, now we're going to go with this. The ministry of the apostles. Jesus said, I'll build my church in Matthew 16:18. All right. So Jesus in the process of building a church. And you know, he said along that the gates of hell should not prevail against it. Should not stop the church. The kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. We have to realize that the force of the Holy Spirit, the force of faith, the force of righteousness, the force of the Word of God, we have all of this working on our behalf, but when we come out of divine alignment in government, have been one of the greatest tricks Satan has pulled on the church. He has got the church out of divine alignment with those five gifts that God gave to the church to make the church supernatural. So the church fell back into the natural by not having the proper government. All right? So now we're bringing it back to the government that he called out in 1 Corinthians 12, I believe, in Ephesians 4. And we're coming back to those government. Now, This scripture is so important here in 1 Corinthians 3. If you got your Bible, I want you to turn there because I'm going to read it under the apostolic ministry. And then I'm going to read a detailed description of it. In 1 Corinthians 3, 9, 10, the Apostle Paul talks about he's a master builder. I got it dissected, but I want to say a few things to you. It begins saying, for we are laborers together with God. Amen. All right, now ye are God's husbandry. You are God's building according to the grace of God, which is given to me. Now, notice what he called us now. Huh? All right, now, we were laboring together with God. He called us God's husbandry. He called us God's building. Then he tells us why. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me. The Apostle Paul said, you start here with me. Under Christ, you start with me. And then he said, number one, as a wise master builder. Mm-hmm. An apostle is given the anointing to be a wise master builder. Master builder. We have not had that. We have not. Some of y'all call yourself apostles. You have no idea what it is. But I will train you. If God have his hand on you as an apostle, you're going to have the fruit for it. You're going to have the anointing for it. You're going to have the wisdom for it. You're going to have the door open for you. You're going to have the gates open for you. And you're going to know how to walk into it. Just pay attention. All you, every one of you all on the sound of my voice coming under an apostolic anointing. All right, now watch. Number one. A wise master builder, Paul said, he had made me. I have laid the foundation. See the apostle what he does? Mm-hmm. Huh? He lays the foundation. Mm-hmm. So if the apostle don't lay the foundation, nothing can be built. So a lot of y'all churches is sitting on two legs. And it's not built right. And then listen, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, sons and daughters, let me say it this way. Don't be stubborn. I'm trying to take you somewhere. Don't be stubborn. Listen to me. I've laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. So you build on the foundation of apostolic wisdom. All right? Now, look what he said at the end of verse 10. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. Wow. See? Now, most of the churches have nothing to build on. You know, yeah, I hit it a lot of times. People talk about their bishop and talk about their archbishop and all this stuff. Listen, I don't have nothing against that, but it's not the foundation that God laid. Okay? All right? You understand that? Now, listen to some of these things I'm going to give you. The term master builder we found in that verse revealed to us the ministry of the apostle. Now, here are some of the things that we need to call a play. I want to read the other thing to you. Wait a minute. Something else I want to read to you. In reading 1 Corinthians 3, 9, 10, let me read it this way, and then I'll give you some points on it. Because actually, they're going to call the apostle a spiritual architect. It comes from some Greek word. I ain't messed with the Greek word. I just got the information. All right. But here's how it reads when you talk about being a master laborer, master builder. A spiritual architect who through their understanding of the beginning things of God are actually able to lay a foundation for a community of believers to build upon to become a household of God. Powerful. Also, as an apostle, an apostle is a spiritual technician who is able by divine grace, notice that, to communicate a spiritual technology within the framework of the community of believers that will develop and grow into God's building. Now, all these anointing coming forth to you by being connected to an apostle. All right? Finally, an apostle travailed and gave birth to the visionary seed of God within him and transmit this vision into manifestation through the community of believers. I'm going to read that again because I'm not in a hurry this morning. We're talking about an apostle. We're talking about reclaiming the biblical gifts. and the church position of authority and power, and your position as a pastor, evangelist, a prophet, or whatever, whoever offered God, you just got to be trained and developed. Listen, apostles are spiritual architects who, through their understanding of the beginning things of God, are actually able to lay a foundation for a community of believers to build upon to become a household of God. Also, an apostle is a spiritual technician who is able by divine grace to communicate a spiritual technology within the framework of the community of believers that will develop and grow into God's building. Finally, an apostle travails and gives birth to the visionary seed of God within him. In other words, God plants his visionary seed in the first office of the fivefold ministry gift of the apostle. The prophet, the pastor, the rest of them fall under that. All right? See that. See it clear. All right, let me find it. Finally, apostles travail and give birth to the visionary seed of God within him and transmit this vision into manifestation through the community of the believer. Paul. Now, Paul here. Salah. Listen. Every church in LTMA, every minister in LTMA must grow. I will not permit none grow. If you're not growing, I'm coming to your church and tear it apart. You've got to grow. You're not doing what you hear me say. You're not following my instruction. You're not doing as I do. You need to do as I do. I've pioneered. I've built a church in the middle of nowhere. I've built a church with a small population and can to be a headquarter church over the whole world. So you're going to have to follow the instruction. You're going to get off them pet horses, get off your little pet song, get off your little pet sermon, and start preaching what I preach. Sonship. We need to be preaching on sonship. We need to be preaching on the fear of God. I started off Sunday teaching on hope. People of faith not working because they don't know God is the God of all hope. You need to get these outlined, pray over them, let God use you in what way he want to use you. You ain't got no mission now. Just shut it down. We got to get this thing on the roll, man. Some of y'all are so proud with your failure. So I can't put up with that. I can't permit you to say Apostle Thompson is my apostle, and you're still sitting on the back lane with 13 members, and three of them about to leave. So let's get this thing straight. Now, I don't want to insult you. I want to hurt you. I want to cut you. Leave if you want to leave, because I ain't got time. I'm wasting my time for 25 years on trifling ministers. I ain't got time to be wasting my time. Now, listen. The term master builder reveal to us the ministry of an apostle. Here we go. He's an architect. You know what an architect does? An archaeologist that like to dig. He go back in history and bring the church to that right place. It means first beginning or chief. So an apostle is the beginning of the ministry gift. He's the chief of the ministry gift. A craftsman, a skilled craftsman, a seed bearer, a technician. To produce from a seed, to deliver birth as a mother, to travail. These are all things. He's an architect, archaeologist, that craftsman, and then he's a father. To produce from a seed, to deliver birth as a mother. All right, listen very carefully. Based on these words to define master builder, an apostle can be defined as, number one, a spiritual architect who, through their understanding of the beginning things of God, are actually able to lay a foundation for a community of believers to build upon to become a household of God. Now, I'm repeating some things. But see, the household of God, it got the reason that the church is not functioning as the household of God is because she has not been properly built. She's been built by tradition. She's been built by religion. She's been built by denomination. She's been built by bishoprics. She's been built by men organizing. That's the way the church has been built. And it don't have the foundation she needs to function in the power, in the glory, in the manifestation, in a demonstration that God wanted her to function in. So we got to build LTMA. We got to build the household of God. We got to build your ministry. Now, if you're not called, if God didn't call you to be a pastor, you're going to resign. You see, but once you see all this stuff, because judgment begins at the house of God. All right, now we got to get this straight now. Come on. Also an apostle is a spiritual technician. Now let's see what he said here. Who is able by divine grace to communicate a spiritual technology within the framework of the community of believers that will develop and grow into God's building. So now we're talking about the household of God. We're talking about developing and growing into God's building. Finally, an apostle travail and give birth to the visionary seed of God within him. Now, in giving that birth, pastors and ministers, in giving that birth of this visionary seed of God within me for the church, that means it can cause birth in you. That's what I want. See, I don't want no. See, I don't have time. We got to move because the time is short. We got to move now. We got to understand what we're doing. We got to get these little organizations out of our mind, and we got to stop listening to all these little preachers. All these little preachers you're listening to trying to get a sermon. Stop listening to all that. Study to show yourself approval. That's what I did. Study. Now I found people who were leaving, like Brother Hagin. I found him. And I followed him. I followed Fred Price because they were showing me some foundation I needed. We need to stop running around to all these different little meetings people inviting us to and getting ourselves all off base and come back. And then we've got to hammer you and hammer you trying to get you back in place. I ain't going for all that foolishness. All right, now. So finally, an apostle travails and gives birth to the visionary seed of God within him. Watch it now. Watch what I'm about to say. Watch what I'm about to say, David. And transmit this vision into manifestation through the community of believers. But with me, I have a community of believers. Yeah, I got to do that too as a pastor. But with you all, I'm transmitting this vision of apostleship into you that you can build a household of God for where you are. And you can build, you can get God building to grow as it should. All right, you getting it? All right. Now watch this. All right. An apostle is not only an architect of the spirit, but of culture. Now, I was talking to my grandson this morning. He's sitting in here. Jay, I was explaining to him how far off we have been, and there's a certain... Not a cult, a culture. See, Satan don't want us to develop our culture, so he send men on to start a cult or a denomination or religion or tradition. But there's a certain flavor of culture that God wants us to have as his children. You'll understand better as I read these 1, 2, 3, 4 things to you. An apostle is not only an architect of the spirit. Notice that term. Architect of the spirit, but he's an architect of culture. You know what an architect is. Some of y'all might be an architect. I don't know, but y'all got good understanding. Y'all know what I'm talking about. I mean, that's the person who get the blueprint. That's the person who see the building before it come up, and know how where to put the strength. I remember when I built 2 buildings. I remember one building we built. The architect didn't know what he was doing. The building fell down. But when he got the right architect, he knew where the strength needed to be, where the wind could hit it, and the church, when he built it, it stood. Jesus talked about that. He didn't hear my word and do it. It was like a man that built his house on a rock. We got to build these ministries on the rock. No matter what wind blow, what the devil try to do, what this world say, what the White House say, and the outhouse or any other house say. We need to know who we are in Christ, and that we have authority and dominion, and we can stop anything and start anything. Amen. 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 So the apostle is not only an architect of the spirit, but of culture. Now, I don't know how long it will be. Just listen. Number one, he understands the God who called him and the people to whom he is sent. Powerful. Powerful. See, now, I'll put that in you. You hear what I said? As your apostle, as your father, I'll put that in you. He understands the God who called him and the people to whom he is sent. Now, you say, I'm a pastor, man. Yeah, I know you're a pastor. I'm a pastor, too. You know, a pastor could be a bastard too. Because if you don't have the right information as a pastor, I've done pretty good. David done pretty good. Dan done pretty good. But I didn't have the information that I needed to have to make my people strong like they should be strong. I still got a lot of weak people because I was teaching them things that I learned not from apostleship.
Wow.
Here's what this apostleship would do. This enabled him to create a unique and powerful setting for the people to connect with God. Come on now. Come on. Listen. Here's what I want to produce in our ministry. That we enable each one of you all to create a unique and powerful setting for the people to connect with God. Now, God has been building me these 40 years for this moment. Uh-huh. And I have fruit from the moments that I've come through. Now, I have a remnant in my church know what to do. Now, I get few calls from members about sickness, about problems. I do very little counseling. My counseling almost shut down. Leroy Jr. and Montrell do some, and Ronald and Larry, them, my ministers here, and Ledoux, they do some, but it's very little compared to the many people we're dealing with because the Word of God is taking its place in its people's heart, and they feel like they let God down, they've let themselves down, they've let Jesus down, because the Word is before them, I prepare myself. So let me talk about that a little minute. These little outlines y'all getting, y'all got to spend time with God all the week. Pray, seek God's face. You don't need something just sound good. You don't need nothing to tickle the people. You need something from God. And that's why I tell you need to preach my son. I preach Brother Hagin and Fred Price on for many years. Need to preach them and make them yours. You don't even call my name. I'm your daddy. I'll give it to you. And it'll change the structure of your ministry. Now this is what I say. I have very few people call me. I do no counseling. None. Couple separated in my church, the Holy Ghost call them out in service. One of the wisdom God gave me, I called one of my brothers. I said, "How long you been married?" He said, 60 years. I said, "How many wives have you had? He said, "It's the only one." He had another brother. He had 52 years. So I had 44 myself, one wife. The couple going back together. The man putting carpet down in his house now. They're going back together. God, prophetically. That's what we got to start doing. That's where that apostolic authority take place. That people respect you, that you've spoken for. Got that? So we need to set up a powerful setting for the people to connect with God. The church at large does not have that. They're connecting with men. They're connecting with organizations. But we got to bring it back to God. Remember what I told you? God's original plan. When an apostle leads a Christian community, the church began to take on a particular flavor or a feel that is all its own. Good God Almighty. Philip, you heard that? Listen. When an apostle leads a Christian community, the church began to take on a particular flavor or feel that is all its own. In other words, all of you all who passed in, there's a flavor in your city. Good God Almighty. I'm getting turned loose here now. There's a flavor in your city. There's a flavor in Virginia. There's a flavor in Ohio. There's a flavor in Baton Rouge. There's a flavor in South Carolina. There's a flavor in Washington. There's a flavor in Gretna. There's a flavor. There's a flavor in Houston, Alabama. There's a flavor. You 12 who connected to me so close, follow me that close. There's a flavor going to come on your ministry that's going to call people from the east, the west, the north, and south. God's going to bind cars, put gas in it. They're going to be glad to drive. When somebody land in Alabama, they're going to know where Joe Church is. There's a flavor. This is our turning point this morning. We're turning in the name of Jesus. All right. Now notice, the apostle vision and mission incorporate into the framework of the people's lives and language to such an extent, watch it, that the atmosphere, the feeling can be called a culture. You're going to be different, gentlemen, ladies and gentlemen. You're going to be different. Archangel, you're going to be different. I was down in your territory the other day. You're going to be in New Iberia. You're going to be different as you connect, as we connect, as ministry gifts, reclaiming our rights as God's masterpiece and start functioning these ways. Listen to this statement again. The apostle vision and mission incorporated in the framework of the people's lives and language to such an extent that atmosphere, the feeling, can be called a culture. You'll be different. The book of it, go back to the book of Acts, still being written. As an apostle also, an understanding of spiritual beginning, as he dig through the accumulation of errors of time, he began to comprehend the depth and breadth and secret long hidden and treasures long forgotten. That's what we're doing right now. We're going back to our God's original plan of his apostleship, the prophetic move, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher. All right? And our church is going to be different. I don't know what no other church is going to do, but those who connected to LTMA, connected to me as an apostle, connected to me as a father, I'm going to give it all I got. If you just listen and pay attention, don't get disturbed. Now, some things had to happen before we got here. Some people had to leave before we got here. I'm going to tell you right now. Not one, not two. Some people had to leave before we get here. God wouldn't even let this out until this point. All right? Now, digging through the accumulation of error and time. In other words, go back to 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, that's our focus point. We're in Christ. The church is built on a solid foundation. That foundation is what Christ said, what Christ done, what Christ wanted to do. And the Holy Spirit is there to reveal it to us, all right? An apostle deals with the beginning of issues. He's always digging down through all the rubble and accumulation of man-made tradition built up through the years until he finds a foundation upon which to build. Here it is. Here's what we're doing, Dan. We're doing it this morning. That's what we're doing. We're going back to the original foundation. Mount Gilead will never be the same again. We're going back to the original foundation. Just like you told those people you got ready to do the thing, he said, not just my anointing here, the apostle anointing here. My anointing is with you every time you open the door. Amen. Every time you open your mouth. Mm. An apostle is a spiritual technician. Let's go five or six things about this. A technician understands how things work together in a machine or in a computer program. You understand that? Run that parallel. He understands how things flow and how things function. That's a gift from God. And if anything is broken or out of order, he knows how to fix it. One call. All you need to do is make one call. If things get damaging in your ministry. One call, and the Spirit of God will place in my spirit what to say to you. That's wrath. What's his name? Dutton?
Joe Dutton.
Joe Dutton. That's rare, Joe. Dutton. That's rare. One word. We ain't trying to build no organization. We ain't trying to build no tradition. We building the church. Like the Father said, build it. So sometimes things get out of whack. Sometimes things get out of order. But the apostle supposed to know how to fix it. Amen.
Amen.
Likewise, an apostle understands the spiritual technology of a congregation. In other words, you see me operating here at Word of Life, just operate the same way. Then you're going to start picking things up. Your anointing is going to start picking it up. Amen?
Amen?
He understands how the dynamic of prayer, worship, and witness can flow together with a fellowship of believers. Now I have this church in a flow. This church is in a flow. This church is in a flavor at this time. When they do this producing an atmosphere in which Jesus is glorified and the Spirit is Lord. Now here's one we know some about, but I want to push it further this morning. An apostle is a father and a seed bearer. Now, all of this fathering going on is questionable. Now, you all can be Father if you're under Father. But you have to have that anointing on you. Some of these guys are trying to be fathers. They're not under apostle. They're not no father. Because they don't know how to father. You heard that? And now those of you who are under me, you can be father because you're being father. That's what it says. Apostles are father and a seed bearer. Don't forget now, father and a seed bearer. You need to hear that. An apostle is the father or originator of a message. Well, you know, I got money coming, finances, apostle to finance, and then a whole lot of other things we're doing here now. Because we actually, LTMA, we actually come into grip what an apostle really is. I'm 47 years. I've been in the ministry 47 years old. I'm a 69-year-old man to come over. I had no idea what an apostle was. Missionary. He's the first one named in the Bible. I didn't know he was that important until I became one. Because God knows when he tell me to do something, I won't know what I got to do. So I start studying and praying, and books start being put in my hand, and tapes start coming, and God just opened the whole avenue because he knew I would eat it. See? And so now, even in this time now, oh my God, I have not met no apostle. I've met many men who say they're apostles. I was in a setting recently. That's not apostolic. See, now these things are bold statement, but you got to be ready for the terrain. If you're gonna enjoy the rain, you got to be ready to make move and hear things. I know God told the prophet, said, "No, you're not the only one." I know I'm not the only one because I'm learning from some people, apostles right now. And prophet. But I'm telling you, we've been suffering bad, especially in the black church. We've been suffering, if there's such thing as a black church, you understand what I'm saying? Been suffering bad for right leadership. And, you know, I don't know many other races of apostles. They say they're apostles, but they don't have the, see that, oh my goodness, all these things I'm sharing with you. The apostle is the father or originator of a message. Now, all these people who broke, all these churches who broke, these ministers, I mean big ministers, they won't submit to the authority. They think they got it going on. And they broke. They're getting financial problems all the time. I have the answer. Some of y'all don't want to listen. Y'all go to other meetings instead of coming to my meeting. A lot of y'all ain't trying to get to the meeting. You say, I can listen to it on the internet. No, you can't. You need to be in there in person. My goodness. You internet sons and daughters. Y'all got enough money to do everything else. Stop buying all them suits. And them cars. And leasing them cars and all that stuff. Wait, you gonna get it? Just follow me close. I'm looking for more of y'all to be at my meeting. All right, now. The apostle, as a father and a seed bearer, he is a big point of spiritual dynasty. Of influence and increase. Oh my God. Listen. Your church suffering, listen. Listen to your dad. The apostle. Your apostle. Leroy Thompson. He's a beginning point of a spiritual dynasty. Of influence and increase. I speak that on you this morning. Dynasty. Start this morning. Your anointing grow to a strength of the apostleship that is on me. And increase. Come to you personally. And your ministry. And I'm not just talking about money. I'm talking about an anointing and wisdom and understanding. Hallelujah. The vision, the understanding, I believe I want this tape myself. The vision, the understanding, and the anointing of an apostle is imparted to others so that the gift of God will expand and grow. There are places you are not going to go unless I put it in you. Unless you find another apostle. Mm-hmm. And you're going to have to look real hard to find another apostle. See, I know what I am. I know when God called me. God called me to save me. He called me to preach. He called me to be a Sunday school teacher. He called me to be a deacon. He called me to come to Mount Zion Baptist Church. He called me to quit my job. He called me to call my wife, tell her to quit a job too later. He called me to be an apostle. Everything that I'm doing, God called me to do it. Matter of fact, I stood some ministers up two Sundays ago and told them, I said, now, if God called you to do this, you see, because we these ministers going out, and we're sending some ministers out because they told us we're supposed to send them. You got to stop that. You got to try to stop trying to keep these ministers who got ant in their pants and think they got to go out. God may have sent them there to help you. And then if God desires to send them out, he's going to tell you first.
That's true.
So I don't just send them out because they give me this discussion. And, you know, I look disgusted because I don't let them preach. I don't send them out because of that. Because God ain't called me to let them preach. God called me to pastor this church. So y'all better stop sending all those people out just because they give you a strong look and come to your office and tell you, let them go. Let them go. Let them go. I told them if they're not, listen to me. If God called me for everything I'm doing, why do you think I'm so bold yet this morning? I'm called to do this. See, I can't do nothing, and nobody can do nothing about it. You understand? So now, I'll tell the LTMA churches, stop catering to these ministers in your church. Stop letting them preach when you're supposed to be preaching. God told you to nurture that church. Now, there are times you will use them. Don't get me wrong. So where are they going to get this started? At the old folks' home, at the prison, side the street, on the bus. That's where I got my start at.
That's right.
You heard me, David? The vision, the understanding, and the anointing. You heard me, Ron? Of an apostle is important. You heard me, Jason? To others, so that the gift of God will expand and grow, Carlos. A spiritual father knows God from a beginning standpoint, that is, from a place of foundational understanding. These 40-some years have not been wasted. I've been digging for 40 years every day. You understand what I'm saying? 365 days a year with no holidays. Still doing it today. Here's my morning, 5:30 up. Walk 45 minutes, praying in the Holy Ghost. Got on a vehicle called a Stallion, a three-wheel motorcycle with a steering wheel and air conditioning, hot dramatic. Drove it down here to my office. Went in the church and prayed about an hour in tongue about this moment with you. And here we are now. Typical day. Call my chef. She came and cooked breakfast for me. I had in my office. By 20 I come on the phone, so I'm not hungry and I ain't about to close right now. Moses, an Old Testament apostle. Moses, watch this now. He was a man who received vision and revelation. Moses. As a divine archaeologist, Moses began to dig under the rubble, watch this, of Egyptian slavery to show Israel that their recent past was not the basis of their identity. What did he do? Before there was an Egypt, God created man in his own image. Now, here's what to plug the line up. I born 6-7 years ago. Some of y'all born younger than me. We born and came into a religious society that had left the foundation out. We came into a slavery religion. And unless we go back and get it in place, we're going to be carrying the wrong identity. Watch what he said. So Moses didn't teach them from Egypt slavery. I mean, and this will set black folks free. I told my little grandson, this will set you free. You're not just a black boy. You're a child of the living God. Work from that foundation. So somebody give a slang and use the word nigger or honky or whatever they want you. They don't bother you because you know you are. You're in a flow. You're in a dimension. You're in a grade that surpasses anything man say. We got to train our children like that. Both black, white, Chinese, Japanese, we train them all that their spiritual heritage is from a man called Jesus. Are you following me? So it can't be no prejudice, can't be no racism, can't be no superiority, can't be no inferiority. This is how we got to train our churches. Watch this now. I got to read that again now. As a divine archaeologists. You know, archaeologists is one who study and dig. Moses began to dig under the rubble of Egyptian slavery, of Baptist slavery, of Word of Faith slavery, of Charismatic slavery, of Catholic Church slavery, of Methodist slavery, to show Israel that their recent past was not the basis of their identity. Before there was an Egypt, God created man in his own image. Israel was not simply a nation of slaves who had lost their freedom. They were sons of Abraham, called to be a blessing to the world. That's where we have to take your church back to. That's where we got to take your preaching back to. Get these denominational snares off our back, these traps, religious traditional traps that Satan has set for the church to sit in. And most, I mean a high percentage of the churches, Joe, they're setting, both of you, Joe, is setting in these traditional values. We are not going to set in traditional value. Hear ye me. Thus saith the Lord. It's time to move into our full potential. Now watch this. Watch this. Israel needs to know that beneath the pain of their recent past was the promise Jehovah God made to the patriarch. Moses, instead of getting them together, he formed their delivered people into a complete community. Moses was the spiritual architect who communicated the divine blueprint for the spiritual operation of Israel. Oh, my God. Here where we're going. This morning we're setting up. We're going to start creating a divine blueprint like never before for the spiritual operation of our ministry. Amen? Amen? All right, now, the foundation of their worship, celebration, their priesthood, and their sacrifice was all based on divine revelation given to Moses by God. Watch this now. This is, any of y'all know anything about the Old Testament? Watch this. The tabernacle was the manifestation of spiritual technology because through it functioned, man was able to communicate with God through the tabernacle in the Old Testament. Watch this now. Watch this. The covenant and God's people. Moses was also the spiritual technician who communicated God's covenant to the people. Listen, listen, minister. We are not saved by keeping the law. We keep the law because we are saved.
Yep.
Moses was the apostolic voice. He received visionary revelation and imparted a spiritual technology to the people that made it possible for them to have a relationship with God. Powerful. An apostle not only received divine revelation and the framework of manifestation. You heard that? An apostle not only received divine revelation and the framework of manifestation, but also induced the process of birth and development of the community of God's people. Moses suffered through the resentment, here we go, rage, and rebellion of a people who had been delivered from Egypt, but not from themselves. Oh, Lord. Lord, have mercy. In the name of Jesus, every minister on the sign of the board and everybody sitting in this room, in the name of Jesus, be delivered from yourself.
Yep.
And that's what you want to get your members, that your pastors, you won't get your members delivered from themselves. Let me read that to you again. Because there are going to be, you're going to have to suffer some resentment and rage and rebellion. But some people have been eating the old sour pickle for 90 years and they don't want to turn it loose. And they want to hold a whole congregation, your nudge and everything back. That's over. Kill them. Kill them with the word. They don't want to let them die. They don't want to live. Because you see, a lot of judgment going to hit place. See, Ananias and Sapphira. They're announced the fire coming back. See, now, you know what I did? I went to my prayer meeting last night, took it over. I don't know, I had 80 or 90 people praying. I don't know how many I had, 70. And I went through these scriptures with them, and I cursed that thing that Bruce did. And they're all excited about it. Got him on the back of the magazine. I cursed it. I called judgment on him. Why could I do that now? I'm an apostle over the nation. See, we've been just pastors and church members. We ain't had the power. But now, every one of you all on the sound of my voice, you have apostolic authority. So watch what you say. And watch what you let get by in your city. If something's going wrong in your city, you stand up as the apostolic anointing and say, no, I call judgment. They don't accept grace. I call judgment. Now, I want y'all to watch this. How it playing out. How it playing out. Called judgment on it last night. See, God need us in our divine order to call judgment on things when they happen like that. We just said, but we ain't nothing we can do about it. God said, last day ain't going to be a bad day. No, no, we got authority. Man, real men and women of God has authority. We ain't just got to read the paper and cry. All right, now, Moses suffered through the resentment, rage, and rebellion. You're going to have some of that. You're going to have resentment. I got people down here resenting me. I got people down here every time I pass, they go into rage. I got people in rebellion. Guess what? None of them can't do nothing. I pass on by. I'm here talking to you, aren't I? See, they can't stop me. So you're going to have resentment, rage, and rebellion. Just don't get weak and fall for that rebellion of a people who have been delivered from Egypt but not from themselves. See, you're going to have those in your congregation. Man, say he had his church grew. He had 2,500 members. Went down to what? Went down to 1,500. The church grew when he got a hold of the revelation. I've had a few left. Some people leave, you know. They're looking for a lukewarm thing. One woman said, I'm going back to my church. She told me about that about 4 or 5 years ago. You know, they won't sing them crazy songs. All right. Moses gave the people a foundation for faith by going back, listen to that beginning, as a basis for their identity, purpose, and function as the seed of Abraham. Mm-hmm. See? He gave them the tabernacle for the blueprint of all spiritual operation. The law gave them the boundaries and abilities of their relationship with God. Now let's look at Paul the Apostle here, 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore many man being Christ here, a new creature, old things passed away, and behold, all things become new. Paul received divine revelation, not from a burning bush, but from a visionary encounter with Jesus. For Paul, everything was summed up in Christ. Jesus is the new tabernacle pattern for worship and the new law for people. Are you getting this?
Yep.
Every action of the believer, whether devotional or ethical in nature, is rooted and founded on the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. In other words, the finished work of Christ. In other words, the blood. It is finished. The curtain is torn in two. The rock is split, and the grave is open. Amen. The rock split means all hard things are dissolved. Daniel was a man of prayer. They had vision they couldn't dissolve, but Daniel was able to dissolve them because the Holy Spirit split revelation. All right. Got that? All right. Now, Paul was a father in the ministry to the Corinthian church. I think I almost got what I want to say. I might go on some more. Yet, the Corinthian church complained about him. He was a father to them. See. If you complain about me, you won't last long. Because if the Holy Ghost don't cut you, some of them boys don't cut your neck. Because we don't want to mess this up. We don't want to mess it up. We're not going to mess it up. We're going to keep our commitment to one another and do what we need to do.
Absolutely.
Yet he was a father to them, yet the Corinthian church complained about him. In many ways, their complaints are reminiscent of the grumbling of Israel against Moses. An apostle through teaching and spiritual impartation, listen, creates a network of divine truth within the local body of believers and establish government leadership to care for them. Mm-hmm. Wow. The ministry of the apostle comes to the forefront during a time of major directional change and decision. Mm-hmm. Moses directed the transition from slavery to freedom. That's what we're doing right now. From tribes to nationhood, and from personal to corporate expression of worship. I don't feel like I'm through yet. Wait a minute. I get an unction. I've been going about 40 minutes. Apostles are founders and grounders. A pioneer sent to dry, hard, and barren ground. I know what I'm dealing with now. I'm breaking up. Dry, hard, barren ground. Even so, some of y'all have accomplished some things, but there's so much more authority and dominion and revelation and wisdom and insight that you can begin not resentment, rebellion, rage, but I enjoy my ministry. Is there any time of loneliness? Absolutely. You have to have that. You have to train your family. Stop bringing all these other people in, giving them position. Train your family. I had a man work with me, been with me for 20, I might be 30 years. When my boys got older, he was my right-hand man. He told me, I'm backing up Leroy Jr., old enough to take care of this now. I see it. He's still here with me. You know, if you got somebody rebel against your family, cut them off, file, send them out, get away from me. Good, I mean, you're any good. Your family is the generation to keep the thing going. You know, I have 3 sons and a daughter. Then I got my son-in-law and my daughter-in-law. They're all here with me. I got other people whose sons and daughters who are tied in with them. But they recognize they're my family. Some of y'all won't train your family at other people's expense. You got these other people making a lot of money in position, and your family's about to get them later. No, they're old enough, put them in there now. You better hear what I'm saying. An apostle, he is moreover the icebreaker. The apostle is always the one sent or raised up to break petrified religion and spiritual ground. He's sent to renew, to reestablish, to restore. Listen, and return. Oh my goodness, return. I'm gonna read that again. People of God, back to God's original intention. Listen. LTM, this is what I'm sending you to do. You're sent to renew, to reestablish, to restore, and redirect, and return people of God back to God's original intention. And the first thing got to happen is they got to know how to respect you. Now, there are 3 things that I want you to remember. The ABCs, there's another ABC, but this ABC I want. There's apostleship. Which is the office. The apostle is the person. Apostolic is the strength and the wisdom they function in. All right, you got that? And now, apostleship identifies the office and its character, commissioned by God to administer and do the will and purpose of the Father. Apostle is the person that occupies this office of apostleship. They are heaven first-ranking messengers commissioned by God to communicate and establish God's eternal kingdom. They are given the responsibility from heaven to earth to redeem humanity back to God. Apostolic is the functioning of the apostleship office carried out by the apostle. The apostle are charged with 3 important duties. Number 1, guarding, G-U-A-R-D-I-N-G, the church. Number 2, governing his father's kingdom according to his righteousness. Number 3, guiding, G-U-I-D-I-N-G, future generation into the salvation of Jesus Christ. And he'll impart that to those who are under him in rank. Are you listening? I'll turn it loose after a while, but I'm not turning it loose now. All right, the 5-fold ministry gift. Apostle is the first of the 5-fold staff. That's the word I've been looking for. Staff. We are staff. But he must also be able to operate in all the other staff positions. A prophet, evangelist, a pastor, and a teacher. Now I stand in all five. I'm not ashamed to say it. All right? I'm not going to be kind of be humble and meek to you and say, well, you know, I've stood in all five. All right. Now, number one, he has to be, because if some of y'all are evangelists, if I have to give you insight, I must know what an evangelist do. You follow what I'm saying? Pastors, teachers. I must know what it's all about as an apostle. Number one, here we go. To establish them, to equip the redeemed for divine service. Hallelujah. He must speak to and combat powers, principalities, and wickedness in high places. Seize their very kingdom and put their principalities off their throne to establish the kingdom of God. Wow. See that? He need to be a prophet with an unprecedented power. A prophet is the mouthpiece of God, his spontaneous messenger. They invoke the will, destiny, plan, and power of God to manifest the spiritual and the supernatural in our world. Wow. An apostle must work with the redeemed to see that they do not revert back to their old way, root, and orientation, old ways of thinking, but become the sanctified children of God. See, that's what we're doing this morning. By teaching them about God's kingdom and equipping them for divine service and to God, and to guard the flock, the apostle operates in a pastor's role. A pastor is a man's spring that stabilizes the fold. His principal duty is to keep the flock of God. He is the Lord's resident caregiver, the stationary one who nestles down to virtually live with the sheep. You heard me, Pastor? You heard me, Pastor? Mm-hmm. Yeah. To fulfill the charge of Matthew 28:19, the apostle must not neglect to teach the redeemed the government, and ways of their new kingdom. Therefore, he operates as a teacher. See, this government is so important. Understanding the staff, how the staff work, understanding the rank, understanding it's not so much somebody trying to be more than somebody else. It's just divine order. You go to a bank, the president of the bank is the president of the bank. I mean, he ain't trying to be nothing. He is the president of the bank. So if we can accept, when we got a trouble in a bank, we go to a bank, you know, messing with a teller, fuck, I want somebody to hire me. Is the president here? I mean, it's some things the president can do the teller can't do. So I don't know why we missed this. Why? We didn't understand the office. And so everybody was the chief. You follow what I'm saying? And we got to get this out. It doesn't belittle nobody. It's just a rank or a play. Kodaskundri, pusta, hemon bread, esokona, heprosekata. It's the place that God have set you in to give you power to function in that place. If you move out of that place into another place, your deficiency will show up. But if you stay in that place, your efficiency will show up. So therefore, yield to what God have called you to be. Be the best at that, and you will have the same result as all the other offices in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. That's a good word. A teacher imparts the knowledge of God to others, affecting behavior, belief, and attitude, removing darkness, ignorance, enlightening sense with God's truth and righteousness, holiness, and sanctification. And the apostle must see that the laws continue to hear the gospel and have opportunity to enter the kingdom of God. Apostles act as evangelists. And evangelists, having no congregation, their mandate is go and save souls. Evangelist is the first point of contact between Christ and the sinner. Mm-hmm. He acts as a bridge between life and death. Oh, that's important to me. Mm-hmm. The apostle commission agenda. The apostle ministry is an assignment. Acts 26:18. Their responsibility is to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, to turn them from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sin, that they may receive an inheritance with the sanctified one. Hold on a minute. I don't feel I need to close now. I'm on a roll. The apostle is sent to aggressively take back what was stolen.
Yeah.
Now, everything I say about myself, I'm saying it about you, Jason. Mm-hmm. Why? You connected. Yes. It's like Jesus said in the 15th chapter of John. See? See, the vine, the branch, eat the same sap and produce the fruit. To support his mandate of aggression, he's given innumerous power and phenomenal supernatural support. Y'all heard that, huh? He's sent to deliberately and strategically overturn the status quo. That's what we're doing here this morning. Y'all in different states on this phone. That's what we're doing. To purposely clash head on with the power that be. You know, that men not going to like this, the changes we make it. But what good it do to obey man? It's better to obey God than obey man. You remember that? And to determinately face off with the foes of darkness, God in the territory. The apostle does not fault in his position, but has been indoctrinated by God. That's why a novice can't be an apostle.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we had such a great meeting here in camp meeting when all those miracles took place. God was just endorsing the call I had made, and I'll get back into it. There's so much I'm trying to do now to instruct the church. Like I say, on sonship, you need to get all those tapes on sonship. The fear of God is a missing ingredient, and now I'm working on hope. I think it's from Romans 15:13. There's a great scripture on hope, and then you go back up to the fourth verse, I believe, in Romans 15, is what I'm reading right now. The apostles are not false in his position, but have been indoctrinated by God. He is forewarned and forearmed for the work he must do. He's forewarned and forearmed for the work he must do. Marcus, yeah, you heard me, Marcus? He began first by opening their eyes. The apostle entered the job knowing that people are inherently blind to God and the truth of his kingdom. We almost got to start all over. I know y'all have done a lot of laboring. I've done a lot of laboring too in pastorship, but I could have done a whole lot more if I knew this. And so we just have to face the fact. You know, I probably been pastoring longer than you anyway. Just face the fact. I'm facing it. Once their eyes are open, the apostle knows they have to be trained because people are inwardly blind and steeped in a spiritual darkness. Because they begin life under Satan's power and not God. That is why it's important to know the fivefold staff position. Listen to this. The fivefold staff position. How to know the difference between the staff in 1 Corinthians 12, 20 and 29 and those listed in Ephesians 4, 11. In order to make a solid distinction between the two verses of Scripture, the breakdown of the staff. Just thank government. Head in the Corinthian passage. And administration. Hands in the Ephesian staff. Let me get it again. Just thank government. Head in the Corinthian passage. And administration. Hands in the Ephesian staff. Ephesians 4:11 presents its officers as singularly having been given to various type of congregation. Each officer assignment addresses how God ordained him or her to execute the respective ministry. Number one, the pastor can only surface after the apostle has apostled, the evangelist has evangelized. Now watch, this is a very important thing. The pastor can only surface after the apostle. He'll tell you why in a few minutes. Has apostled. And the evangelist has evangelized. Watch this now. Otherwise, there's really no need for the shepherd, since people must first be converted before they are interested in or even needing to be a shepherd. This is true with the evangelist. This matter is how souls are saved and enter to the Lord's body. Neither one of these two offices appear to be delegated comprehensive governmental authority over the body. The apostle representation is how the pastor and other New Testament ministers come into existence. Says all Christ does begin with a message that once preached attracts followers to become the church. The apostle message and doctrine once dispersed or circulated birthed the apostle's church out of the delegated commission and mandate. Now, let me say this to you. We're almost going on an hour. Let me say this to you. I think when I was praying, the Lord said this is a turning point in all our ministry. This apostolic connection we're making with this gift, I know it's changing my ministry. There's a transition going on. They're trying to transgender, but we're making a transition. We ain't putting up with this transgender mess. Our dominion and our authority is not just in the building where you are, Dan. You got authority over the whole city, your territory, demons and principalities and power have to obey what you say. And we have to understand that in Texas. We have to understand it everywhere. Here where we are. Listen to me. Listen to me. In New Iberia, listen to me. There's a lot of churches in New Iberia, but they're not connected to an apostle. So there's a demand and a change going to take place in your ministry. You just listen to what I'm saying. Apostles, church out of the delegated commission and mandate, whether or not the title is put on by the minister so endowed. Peter, Jesus, and the early apostles by no means finished the work job. They may have done a great work converting their generation during their tenure, but other people have been born into sin since then, leaving each generation apostles to replenish Christ's church. Apostles are ordained by God to recover all that the secularism took from him and release the flame of redemption that win the loss of their era. Y'all listening? All right. Matthias, for instance, replaced Judas, and Paul, not an original apostle, with Barnabas, went to the nation. The average Christian is unaware of what is going on around them. Devilish music and entertainment, occult practices, and so on. Now, another word I want you to write down is no compromises. And we're not talking about going and beat on the people. You got to have revelation knowledge to show them the truth and have an anointing for it. The average Christian is unaware of what's going on around them. Devilish music and entertainment, occult practice, and they are so far because we've been so stupid. That's how they're so far. That's how they're so far in Louisiana, down this area, but I've been too dumb to know my authority and my full authority. You know what I'm saying? You understand what we're saying? But only true apostles will confront these issues because his commission was to establish the kingdom of God on earth. His commission and mandate is about the recovery of sight to the blind, liberty of captive, ordering people's life for God, causing them to prosper. Just a few more minutes. Establishing spheres, exercising heavenly and earthly dominion, and clashing with Satan angels and offspring to overturn human stronghold is what apostles do. And so that is what, as I do, you do. Why did Jesus use the term of apostle? Why did Jesus use the term of an apostle? Jesus' choice of term was calculated and meant to inject a staggering force of ability in the kingdom of God. Here's an example. When God brought Israel out of Egypt, he instituted the Levitical priesthood. God ordained the offering, the sacrifices, and the writ of observance for their practice. He established who would be the servant, temple minister, who would deliver up the sacrifice, the priest. See, all I'm doing is tapping on divine order here. The lineage of Aaron was chosen for the priestly function. You know, other people tried to do it and drop dead, you know. And one of them would be appointed high priest. And all of them be appointed high priest? No, one of them would be appointed high priest. You know that not once did the people seek an explanation of what priest was? No one interrupted Moses' discourse, action. What is a priest? And what is a high priest? Somehow the people knew exactly what the Lord was saying, was able to follow Moses completely as he outlined the demand of Jehovah. Now, one thing that moved me great in dimension of understanding authority is Watchman Nee book on spiritual authority. Because one time, Marion questioned Moses' authority. Moses had to pray for her too. Down through the years, the scripture show us how God permit man to become familiar with his own ideas of something. Once that knowledge becomes familiar to him, the Lord takes the concept and place it in his own program. The same is true with Christ's selection of the term apostle. Apostle was not foreign in Jesus' day. And Peter and the others seemed to understand what Jesus was doing. That's a water break, which I usually don't take. But I got a few more minutes. It's been an hour. We've been on the line an hour. When you're in the world, the last dance you went to, you stayed 3 hours. All right. What I was talking about, the role of apostles. See, once that knowledge becomes familiar to him, the Lord take the content and place it in his own program. The same is true with Christ's selection of the term apostle. Apostle was not foreign in Jesus' day, and Peter and the others seemed to understand what Jesus was doing. The role of an apostle, as their culture understood it, was to take back what was stolen or illegally seized and restore it to its rightful owner. But Jesus had greater plan in mind. He was not looking to restore Israel only, but to regain the world of humanity for his Father. He was not looking to overturn the Roman Empire, but to overturn Satan. He was not sent to apostle a nation, but the entire world. His mission was not to save Israel from the Roman, but the world from sin. His commission was to establish the kingdom of God on earth. That's our commission. He was an apostle for a new move. His mandate was the conference of Daniel. You might read in Daniel 7:13-14, and the fulfillment of Genesis 3:15. Jesus Christ is to remain within the framework of 1 Corinthians 12:28-29 and Ephesians 4:11. Apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. Here's the structure. Apostolic, prophetic, evangelical, pastoral. Now, D-I-D-A-C-T-I-C, teacher. Didactic, teacher. I'm about to close. Apostles are also ambassadors, are ministers of the highest rank. They act on behalf of a sovereign sinner as representative. They have full power to act in another state or on their behalf. They are diplomats or ambassadors fully organized to represent their government as a minister in an assigned ministry. A ministry is a department of a government. It defines all those appointed as ministers under the leadership of a prime minister in or out of a cabinet. My God. A cabinet, for the sake of definition, is a body of high-ranking government officials that represent the executive branch of a government. Listen, cabinet members' duties and influence range from policy-making, tactics, and legislation to advisory counsel to the head of state. Those occupying cabinet positions are typically given a title to ministers that seem to be akin to a secretary in many countries. It is clear that a minister cannot exist apart from a government authorization. Almost makes some of our church bastards, you know, but we didn't know no better, you know. We just didn't know no better. In addition to this information, freelance ministry on behalf of deity or sovereignty was virtually unheard of in Christ's day. Oh, my goodness. Listen to this. In addition to this information, freelance ministry That's why, man, we got so many churches on every corner. On behalf of deity, a sovereign was virtually unheard of in Christ's day. But we got some in our day. Ministers were representative. They represented their government and their God. This information also disturbed, if not undone, traditional thoughts and theology on the subject of individual ministry. See? Ministers must be appointed by a sovereign authority to fit the classic definition of the world. Furthermore, ministry must have an organization that backed them and authorized their intrusion and action into people's lives. Who's your overseer? Who's your apostle? Who's your dad? Who's your father? Without a legitimate entity to organize, authorize the minister, those practicing their ministry are devoid of legitimacy, are acting on their own without dispatch or allocation by a higher power. Wow. This truth is brought out by the Lord Jesus in John 7:18. Read that. And 13:16. I read them this morning. I'm not reading them. I don't have time. Both passages say that servant must be sent, and that servant elevated to the stature of minister must have an authorizing entity to work their answer that filled a vital role of a principal that is essential to a minister's influence. That minister, officer of Christ Church, a legal entity recognized by any societal government, is to be seen in the following. An officer is one who holds office, a person who lawfully invested with an office, whether civil, military, or ecclesiastical. Any person who holds a position of authority or command, someone who is appointed or elected to an office, who holds a position of trust, office holder, a member of a force authorized to serve in position of authority, indirect change, or command as officer. Couldn't. The apostolate is highly demonstrative position. It is replete with signs and wonders and miracles. Demonstration of the Spirit bathes the ministry in the supernatural. Only a chosen few can be entrusted with such power and authority. God does not release this degree of independent action and free will access to and use of his authority to any other office. Even a prophet who can impressively move in the power of God cannot wear the degree in power and authority an apostle does. Why? Because the post requires years of rigorous testing, training, trial, and the lack to establish the man's criteria for its fulfillment, obedience, loyalty, and devotion. Good God Almighty. See, that's why a rookie can't be, you know, you can't hear somebody hear the name apostle. All make up the substance of this calling standard. Not everyone is willing to suffer, pay the price, or submit to the intense training and scrutiny under the law to attain to it. God knew this in advance, so he dispensed the calling to a select few from each generation. Wow. Wow. All right, who wanna come in for this? Who wanna make a comment for this group this morning online? Hit your butt. What you heard. Who wanna make a comment? Hit your button. I'm listening.
This is Pastor Scroggins. You made a statement that when you first started that today we needed to make this commitment, and so I wanted to be able to say that, yes, I can admit that there's a whole lot I don't know, and whatever I'm wrong in, I change, that I choose to commit to LTMA, to you as my spiritual dad, submit to everything that you're telling us to do. And this has truly been a blessing for me because it's helping me to understand, and it's putting me in the place that I need to be so that I can see the manifestations of God in my life and ministry and so that I just won't have a building and some people and say it's a church, but that I'm actually moving in the apostolic like you're teaching us, and then this area where I am will be impacted for God.
All right. You have great potential, child. Now listen to me. Your church can grow, but I want you to follow my footstep. I want you to change anything you're doing that I'm not doing. And start doing your church the same way I'm doing the church. Watch it online. I mean, even if you got to spit like I spit, and your church will start growing. I'm calling people into your church right now in the name of Jesus. Sometimes we run people off. Everybody else listen. Sometimes we run people off by ideologies we have about church, and that's why now we're coming into this apostolic understanding, and I've taken the whipping for you already. I went through the training and the trenches already, and that's why God had me in a hard place, per se. I never called it a hard place, but down here where I am in this little country, and he told me he could make it a worldwide ministry. He did. So your church is going to take on growth. I've just been to your church, and your church is going to take on growth. But I want you to don't try to be spiritual. Don't try to make nothing happen. When you got visitors, they know if you're faking. So just go on and teach the word. Don't hold a service all night, all day long. Just get your pattern. Follow my pattern. And now you're going to see me do some things you can't do. But your spirit is going to tell you that you're not ready for that. There's some things you can't do everything I do, because I'm at another stage. Double. Something I do will bring on more members. Something you do will run off the few members you have. So just pay attention. The Holy Spirit is going to help you. But you're in for growth. I'm calling for your church to come up to 120, 12 at a time. People who will dedicate themselves. I'm calling it now in the spirit. People who will dedicate themselves to your ministry. When they see you have made that change, don't let your daughter, I want to dress longer. Her dresses are too short to be up there making an announcement. You don't want no short dresses making an announcement. You want. I'm not talking about long dress down to your knees, to your ankles, but I'm talking about make it a little longer, dress more casual, and that people can have and respect and honor, and they won't be looking at her leg or looking at that. They'll be looking at for the Lord. I got to watch that in my church, you know, with my people, and I've done that. And I'm just saying it to you publicly so others can hear how small things can cause your church not to be what God wanted to be. You got to be able to take these statements. You got to be able to. See, sometimes I say things I shouldn't say, but I say them in love. And I use some people for an example for other people to catch on. You're not the only one, you know.
Yes.
First ladies call themselves first ladies. They got to dress right. They can't be coming. They can't become pimping. They can't be pimping. They got to dress like women of God. They don't have to dress old fashioned. You know, mom wear pants all the time if she want. I don't tell her nothing, but she know how to dress herself modernly without confusion in the connection. All right, somebody else. I want a man.
Go ahead.
Who is this?
This is Evangelist Rand. I'm so grateful for this teaching. Never heard it at this level, and I know it's a straight connection from heaven to earth, because I don't know. So I'm just humbling myself, just following your instructions, trying to get closer and closer to you as my time and my season come. So I'm so grateful, especially when you said about admit. Commit and submit, history, culture, identity, purpose. That's just opened up my eyes a whole nother level. How serious it is. This is not a game. And this is something you can't find everywhere, and it's extraordinary. And I'm grateful for you being my ears from heaven to earth to instruct me.
This is our moment, son. This is our moment. I knew it proud this morning in the church where I got my bunch of my staff members sitting in the ministers. Close to me. I got them in here. My son's in here. My daughter in here. Son-in-law, daughter-in-law. They're all in my office as I mentioned to you. I've measured them in here with Bibles and pads and computers. This is our moment. But this is our moment. I'm talking to the 12 now because, you know, I'm getting full now. The Lord said this is our turning point. Some of y'all been struggling. Got a genuine call on your life. Running from here to there, from one doorpost to another one. You don't have to do that anymore. Just follow instruction. I'm praying for you. Whatever God tell me to tell you, I will tell you. I try to tell the 12 ask me some things, and I give them wisdom answers to know how to deal with situations. You run up on a situation, sometimes you don't touch it. You get your mind off it and do the best you can. I encourage you. I encourage two more of y'all to speak this morning. I know it's been a long time, but speak up. I need one of the 12 to speak. Stop trying to be humble. I need one of the 12 to speak.
Dad, this is David.
Yes, sir.
Apostle Thompson, this is David.
Yes, sir.
I want to go on record of just saying that I resubmit to you. I've been submitted to you almost all my ministry life, and I have no excuses and no regrets about it. But today, based on what you shared, I resubmit, knowing that you're going to another, or ministering from another place. I embrace that, and I accept that. And I'll teach what you teach, preach it the way you preach it. I've been doing that, but I will step that up even another level. I received today from you just the gift that's in you to guard, to govern, and to guide, and that I have a right to receive a guard over my life, governing over my life, and a guidance over my life, but that I also can translate that into those who are connected to me the same way I'm connected to you. And so I re-up, or I up the ante, just to do what I've been doing, but to do it even at a greater quality and a greater depth. And I appreciate you so much today, and I value you. I resubmit, I recommit, I replace myself under your apostolic government today. Thank you, sir.
I receive all three of the statements you all made. My conviction is not dictatorship. That's not my conviction, because I know I'll get an arrow with God. That's why when I come to you all churches, pastors, I always respect pastors. I want people to see me respecting the pastor so they can respect the pastor. You just got to have wisdom in this area. You got to have some time under your belt. You got to have been in some situation in order to be a leader of this status. It's all, I'll say, as the Apostle Paul said, it's all by the grace of God. It's not in the greatness of me. It's just in the grace of God and the calling of God. Anybody else?
Dad, this is Pastor Joyce. I just want
yeah,
to say
yeah.
how much it touched my heart to hear you come on this line and talk to all of us and tell us that you admit that you had been going the wrong way. There were things that you hadn't seen, that you hadn't known. And knowing how close you walk with God and how you seek after him constantly every day of your life. And so I know certainly that I've missed it. I admit where I've missed it. I've been wrong. And my ministry has been under you from day one. But I still have to know that I am where I am because of you. But I know that I could be a whole lot further along, so I have to admit that there's some things that I have done wrong, not seen, or not walked out right. And I'm just so grateful that you are still with me and still allowing me to follow you and go with you. And I'm just so grateful that you're there to teach me and train me and help me even when I'm not perfect, even when I'm not doing it all right. And I know that it's changed. And I just resubmit, and just ask God to take me closer and deeper. And I ask him to take out all the slack recently. If there's any slack between us, take it out. Because I want your heart and my heart to be the same as a heart with God, so that all that you are pouring into me, I can perceive it, I can receive it, and I can do it, because I know that's the only way I can honor you if I'm not manifesting what you're teaching me. So I just praise God for you. Thank you.
I call growth for your church, Joyce. I call growth. I just want you to, as I was telling my other daughter, whatever correction you think you should make, the Spirit of God will tell you the correction. I'm saying it to the whole body. You can mention my name sometime. You don't have to call my name all the time, just as the Spirit leads you, you know. But I want you to build within yourself, and I'm not saying you're doing that, but build within yourself a strong anointing as you be to all these meetings. There's no reason you know Maud shouldn't grow. You all saying you have the call will pass on your life. I'm accepting that. And so we have to prove the difference. We have to move out and whatever changes we think we need to make. Don't ever cater to people. Don't ever run with your people. Don't ever become buddy-buddy with them, just trying to keep them. Because sometimes they're blocking seven other people. Just do what you know to do. Pray, obey, follow instruction, wash clothing when you see me ministering, follow the same pattern, and then the Spirit, your uniqueness of you and the uniqueness of your gift will start coming out all at once. It'll start coming out. I'm excited for everybody on the line, to tell you the truth. Like I said, this is a turning point. I couldn't quit this morning. I had that information. I was afraid I wouldn't get back to it. We'll go over it some more because we covered so much territory. We'll go over it and pause at some of it and pull some scriptures in different direction from it. But I believe LTMA has been highlighted this morning in the spirit realm to give us a clear vision on what we are all about and what we are out to accomplish. I speak growth on all of your, all the churches in the name of Jesus. And I speak growth for all of those to be open for various ministry, those of you who are not pastoring. And I speak life to you to not play with this thing when the 12 with delegated authority trying to encourage you what to do and to get to the meeting. Never permit your dad or your father to come to a meeting close to you. Cancel everything you have. You know, almost you almost cancel everything but your mother's funeral.
That's right.
You know, it's just that important. I had to use that as a term. Or your little daughter, first time her getting married. Things like that are so unique and personal. I'm a man. I understand it. I have a family. I have grandchildren. I know how that go. But these little pussyfoot, sad excuses that y'all make, even when I'm in closed town, and some of y'all can cross further. Just back on all your spending. Go on to a restaurant that you know you're not ready to go to. Use that money. Stop spending that seed money. Stop eating that seed money. And seed that money on into a trip where the 12 go to every meeting. These guys pass in churches. Some of these guys visiting me. But they set it apart. You're not going to make them punk out. Talking like they can't make it. You know, I had one or two trying there, but I put a whipping on their tail. Tell them, we're not going to have that. If you're going to be a man. You're going to follow me. You're going to be close to me so you can learn this stuff. They straighten out. The one didn't straighten out, gone. See? And so, we came through a lot of things. Some people left. They had to leave because it was not rolling with the punch. They didn't want to make the changes. Talk about that. I like to talk about that, but you got to talk about it. You know where they're gone. And so we are family until you see different. Okay. We are family until you see different. My heart, I'm all sold out of this thing. I've been preparing myself all these years. I want to pour myself and empty myself into other people. The ministry I've enjoyed my ministry, George, for 40 years. It's just that I had some ignorance that since the Lord called me to be an apostle and I went in that field, what I thought was apostles is really not apostles at all. I didn't even have no ceremony because that's what it did. They were ceremony with them robes and have everybody inviting, give an invitation. My wife and I was talking. I think my wife and my daughter was talking. So we don't need to do this. Just go on and be an apostle. And it didn't want to go through all of them. So I never had no apostolic installation. I was called by God and got out on it. Here we are. And I think our futures are bright. Everything not going to roll the way you wanted to roll or I wanted to roll. But the grace of God will carry all us through. And we got to have growth. And when I say growth, I'm not talking about everybody not going to have a church the size of Dan Church. Dan has one of the largest churches in our group. But we can grow inwardly, and then Dan's church is no stronger than my church. He got more members, but by the word of God, you can bring strength into a church. So don't count yourself by numbers. Numbers is not important, and numbers is important. It's just a matter of time that I break the non-growth of all the churches under the sound of my voices. I don't care what country, what city you're in, Darrell was worse. And God did it here. We're at peace. I got a staff. I got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13 people sitting here getting paid while they're sitting here listening to this. In Darrell. You follow what I'm saying? And the same thing can be done where you are. While I'm on that thing, don't overstaff. That's one wisdom God gave me. Don't overstaff. You can overstaff. You see another church got this person catching the paper, and the other one putting the paper in the bucket. Now, don't overstaff. My friend Jesse the Planter, we're going to Las Vegas Thursday to celebrate our anniversary. He was going to doubt it, but I changed it. You know, you can change it when you got your own jet. What you laughing at, Dan? So, one thing he did was overstaff. He talked to him about he overstaffed. He got too many people. And then, you know, it's not the easiest thing to tell a person you've been with you so many years, you got to go, you know. So I always try to keep staff, your husband and your wives or your friend. You can listen to them. They'll help you. Your children will help you. You got these voices that can get in your ear more than anybody else. And then there's just dedicated people who's raised up in your church. God sent those people to you. They're just like family members. They can get in your ear, too, and they can tell you things that can help you. So I bless you today. I don't know Leroy sitting here. I don't know what he's going to do from here. I don't know what to do now. I'll just see y'all later.
For the sake of time, and I don't want to kill or stop the momentum, we'll postpone this morning's roll call. I know you all have various circle calls. Any of the MVBs that want to adjust the times to the circle calls that they lead, go ahead and speak up so that your circle members can hear the time adjustment.
Can you call the roll on their own?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You
want
to tell
them? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir.
Dr. Thompson.
Dr. Leroy.
Go ahead, sir.
Dr. Leroy.
Go ahead, sir.
Dr. Martin. Yes, sir. My circle call will be scheduled for tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. Pacific Standard Time because I want them to go over this call again.
Okay, not a problem. Matter of fact, I'm glad you said that, Jason. I'll make sure that I get the MP3 out ASAP as soon as I hang up. We get off the phone with this morning's call. I'll make sure that I put it on the text messaging group message for LTMA so you can download the MP3. So, Dr. Martin, your circle call will be tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, correct?
Yes, sir.
All right. Any other MVBs?
Dr. Thompson?
Yes, sir.
This is Dr. Brown. My circle will convene on tomorrow as well at 9 a.m.
9 a.m. Central Standard?
Yes, sir.
All right, 9 a.m. Dr. Joe Brown. Anybody
Dr.
else?
Thompson?
Any other MVBs?
Dr.
Yes, sir.
Dr. Thompson? This
yes,
is,
sir.
Pastor Skelton.
Go ahead, Doctor.
My circle call. I'm going to make
yes, sir.
Sure. I want to make it tomorrow at
yes,
9
a.m. Got it, sir. Dr. Skelton. The circle that he leads, the call will be tomorrow morning, 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, sir?
Yes, sir.
Got it, sir. All righty. Don't forget about Gretna, the money, Supernatural Money Coming to You conference in Gretna, Louisiana. It'll be not this Thursday and Friday for Dr. Ron Walker. It won't be this Thursday and Friday. It will be the following Thursday and Friday. I think it's the 11th and 12th, June 11th and 12th in Gretna, Louisiana at Hope of Glory Church. Then late on this month, on the 25th and 26th, we'll be at in Plainview, Texas with Pastor Marcus Flores at Faith Christian Center. That's Plainview, Texas on the 25th and 26th. Apostle said it'll be a good opportunity for you all to stretch those who haven't been in a meeting yet. It'll be a good time to stretch. MVBs, would you please remind all the circle members, and they hear me now, about our special call we have for Saturday morning. I can't remember the exact time because I don't have it in front of me, but please remind them about that call so we can carry that out. I think that's it. I will get the MP3s out to you within the next half hour. Again, thank you for being on this morning's Vision Importation call, and we'll see you real soon. Bye-bye.